Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. God has taken Marlene Burling through many times of loss, pain, and grief, as well as disappointments and heartaches. In her book, Breaking Through Clouds, she shares what God has done in her life, hoping it will be an encouragement and help to those experiencing similar situations. Marlene is a widow, a resident of Batavia, New York, a pastor's wife, married for 51 years. She has 3 children, 10 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. She's been a Bible teacher of youth, children, and ladies, is presently a speaker for ladies' events. Her writing began after the loss of her husband. She's also written a children's book, Grandma, Tell Me the Easter Story, and 2 365-day devotionals, Morning Walks with God and A Daily Walk with God. Marlene writes a weekly inspirational blog on her website, MarleneBurling.com, and posts on her Facebook page under Marlene L. Burling. She has developed a workshop for widows and others who have suffered the loss of a loved one, which is titled, There's Life After Loss. She's the co-leader of Grief Share at her church, also co-leader for a ladies single and widows community group, which meets in her home where she leads Bible study. Back with us on This Week in America, Marlene Burling, author of the inspirational Breaking Through the Clouds. Marlene, a pleasure to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you again today.
We always learn something. I always learn something when we're going through our conversations, and you're so helpful in sharing your messages and helping us all through difficult periods in our life. This new book is Breaking Through the Clouds. What made you write this book, and how long did it take you in the process?
Well, it's kind of interesting, actually. Of course, the title is, you know, Breaking Through the Clouds, and I call but an inspirational memoir. So it is about my life. And Rick, God has taken me through on quite a journey, I should say.
Yes.
And you've kind of already alluded to it. There's been a lot of losses. So, you know, there's grief, there's sorrow, health issues, financial, just a bunch of things, heartaches and disappointments, you know. And so that's really why I'm writing it. I just want people, as they read it, they can see how God worked in my life and what he did for me. And they can see that God can do the same thing for them. That's really what I want them to see and know.
When you read the book, you'll see that all that Marlene has gone through, and it's not just an experience or two, it's a life like most of us go through, where there are a lot of pitfalls along the way. It breaks so many people. Marlene has learned from it. She is inspiring us with her book, Breaking Through the Clouds by Marlene Burling. If you're Googling, you'll need it for her website. Burling is B-U-R-L-I-N-G. Her website is MarleneBurling.com. Of course, you can link on by going to our website, and I'll give you the information as we go through the conversation today. What do you hope the readers get out of the book? What's the takeaway you want for the reader?
Rick, life is not easy. Yes, there are good times and a lot of good times, but you know, sometimes we get that phone call that can just be devastating, and or a report from a doctor's office, this kind of a thing. In you know, whatever it might be, it could be a financial loss of jobs, and so many heartaches and disappointments, and you know, you make these plans and all of a sudden they just fall apart. And as they read this book, I have included a lot of scripture, a lot of helps, and I want them to see that, to realize that God is he's compassionate. He loves us so much. He knows all about us. He cares about us. The idea that he loves us so much that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to actually die on the cross for our sins. And we can trust him during these times. And it's so vital. And the one thing that I think is so important is just to really be in God's word so they can learn more about him. It's just, that has meant so much to me. That's how I have survived so many of these things. But it's, yeah.
You help us all in the book, Breaking Through the Clouds. Marlene Burling is our guest on This Week in America. Her website, MarleneBurling.com. I like the way the book is written. It, first of all, it's very relatable. It's understandable. The layout at the end of each section of your book, you have a special page. Tell us a little bit about that and why you included that in the book.
I do. In fact, I'm going to open that up right now. There, after each section or chapter, whatever you want to call it, I have a page that is, the format is the same throughout the book, but the content is a little bit different. But I call it, I don't think you can see that or not, but it's Be Still.
Oh, yes.
Be Still. And at the bottom it says, And Know That I Am God. And then in between it, there's other sections. At the top, I have a little box. And if I hopefully I got a time, we have time here, but I'd love to share. And I think it would give an idea to our readers just exactly what I've been trying to include here.
Oh, sure. Please do.
So I kind of have a summary. Okay. I kind of have a summary in the box. And this one happens to say, as his children, the more we know about our God and the closer our daily walk is with him, the more we will trust him when these storm clouds appear. And then the next bold reading, it says, be still and read the word. This is the verse I had for this section. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, that may sound strange, but, you know, Rick, so many people and children alike, they don't even realize that there is a God. God's been taken out of everything, out of schools and so on. So the lack of knowledge is just knowing who God is. I have one that says, hide the word. This is the verse. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So God is a holy God, and anything that he says, he's going to do. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to lie about it and say, you know, like say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean what I said.
Yes.
You know, that sort of a thing. And then pray the word. And this is what it says at the end. Dear Father, help me to know you more and to trust in your unlimited power and faithfulness and to claim the precious promises you have made to me. Amen. So if they're reading the word, and we're talking, and the thing of it is, when you read the word, you're going to find out just who this God is, what he's like, what he can do, what he does do. And when we know about him, we're going to love him more. We're going to trust him more with our lives, and we're going to claim these promises that he's given to us. And let me just read you a few of these. He says, I will never leave you. Call unto me and I will answer you. My God shall supply all your need. The Lord is going to renew our strength. And he says, fear not, for I am with you. You know, we can doubt so many things that he doesn't care. He's not with us. But then we find his promises and wow, we can trust him because he's a true, loving, wonderful, compassionate God.
And you share that story in this book, The Devotionals. We'll talk about those in a second, and a new children's book written by our guest on the program, Marlene Burling. A pleasure having her back on the program. Very insightful always and helping people go through difficult times. And one of those storm clouds that you talk about that you went through was losing your husband. We've talked about this before. Tell us a little bit something about that, the background and the impact that has had on your life.
Right. Actually, that was kind of the beginning of my book that I didn't mention before. Back in 1993, my husband and I used to walk 4 miles together. And all of a sudden, he couldn't go very far, and he was having chest pains. So a few days later, I was able to get him to the doctor and found out that he needed open heart surgery. So they proceeded with that. It happened pretty quickly. He was going to rehab. but he was not progressing like he should have. And so one day when he was there, I get this phone call. Here we go. I get a phone call.
Yes.
And he says, they're not letting me come home. The surgery, the bypass failed. And by the way, the bypass was on the widowmaker. They got it before he actually passed away. So anyway, so it failed. Kind of speeding up a little bit here. 3 months later, we had to wait to see a specialist in Atlanta, Georgia. And this time we flew down there. They did what was called a rooter job. It was something brand new. So you're waiting for a specialist to come in. And they performed this rooter job. And of course, you know, there's a lot going on between all this time. The waiting was horrible. You just don't know if he's even going to make it until then. But they did the procedure and everything went well. He was doing fine. But in fact, they told him to expect he probably could live maybe 10 years. Well, the Lord blessed him with 20 years. But over that time, he had 18 stents put in his heart. He had another bypass. He had diabetes on top of this. It was like every time he went into the hospital, the kids and I would wonder, is this it? You know, we didn't know what to expect. So a lot of uncertainties. But the last year of his life, he was retired. He wasn't quite retired then. That last year, I could see that he was just really going downhill quickly. And excuse me. The week before Christmas, he had some really hard issues with his heart, and I took him to the VA in Buffalo. And he was there several days, but during that time, he developed pneumonia, which was not a good situation. They decided to place him into a coma, hoping that his heart would be stronger and he could fight it off. So Christmas comes. He's still in a coma. And my kids have all come for Christmas Day. We all piled in the cars afterward, and we went up to the hospital. And, of course, we tried to tell the kids, you know, what to expect when they see Grandpa or Great-Grandpa, and that he's probably going to be all hooked up and still in this coma. Rick, we walked in there, and he was alert. But, yes, he had all these tubes and everything in him, and he couldn't talk, but he was writing little messages, basically saying goodbye to each one of us. And one of the things that he wrote to me was almost home. I really knew what he meant, but I said, home with me? Or I looked up and I said, I just pointed, and he looked up, and I knew. So we all went back home, and most of my family went back home to their homes. My daughter stayed with me. 2:00 in the morning, my phone rings again saying, can you come? My husband's only got about 2 hours to live. So my daughter being with me, we just flew up there as fast as we could get there. And we were with him when he passed away. But my daughter was singing in his ear, face to face, as he entered glory. Well, one other thing I want to share along this line, though, about 4 months before he passed away, which you mentioned he was a pastor, and he was retired at this time. He was teaching an adult Bible study at our church Sunday mornings on the book of Revelation. My husband loved Revelation. And this one Sunday, he was preaching chapter 4, talks about the throne room where God is. And after he got through, he just stood there, and I wasn't going to do this. Oh, my. He just stood there for a few minutes, and he said, I can't wait to get there. Can you? And I honestly believe that God was using that study to prepare my husband for the greatest day of his life.
Yes.
He was going to meet his precious Savior.
That is such a powerful story and emotional, and I thank you. That has to be difficult to go back and bring up those memories, but that really serves a purpose for all of us in understanding your message and how we can get through these difficult times. And the book is just as emotional and touching and will guide you through all of the difficulties we have. The book is Breaking Through the Clouds by Marlene Burling. It's B-U-R-L-I-N-G, book available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you, of course, Amazon, urlinkpublishing.com. We'll mention those as we go through the conversation today. Let's talk just briefly about the other losses that you've gone through. Were they all different or similar type? Because you went through a number of those there.
I really did. Yes, most of them were really different. My mom was the first one, and she's been gone since 1989. But her loss was so sudden. We did not expect it. In fact, it was on a Super Bowl Sunday. And we got a phone call right after the morning service and telling us that my mom was in the hospital with pneumonia, okay? And so, yes, the pneumonia is bad, but we thought, we can wait until tomorrow and we'll go, go up and see her.
Yes.
But we had an evening service also. And we got through that, went back home. We weren't home very long when we get this phone call. Mom, they were calling the family in. Mom is dying. And it was a 2-hour drive. She passed away before we got there. That was hard. So I, wasn't with her, couldn't, give her any goodbye or anything like that. And with her, my grieving took, a long time because my siblings lived closer to my dad on the farm. But here I was a good 2 hours away, and I wasn't back to the farm too often. So every time I went back, walked up those stairs and into the kitchen, Mom should be there baking her cookies or playing her organ, coming downstairs or out of her bedroom. She's not there. And, it was hard. So that was my mom. My dad was several years later. He didn't pass away until 2005. But the last 3 months of his life, I was his caregiver. He was diagnosed with leukemia. And so we brought him. He wasn't able to go back home. And so my husband and I brought him into our home. So I was, with him even when he passed away. But to be honest with you, even though that was hard,
yes.
A daughter taking care of your father, okay, doing things that you wish you never had to do, but you do them with the Lord's help and strength. But then when he passed away, and I have to say it was a peaceful going, and I know he's with the Lord also, which definitely helps. But when they wheeled him out and I walked back into that empty room again, and then when you've been caring for someone that long and then you're not caring for them, it's just really, really hard.
Yes.
So my husband and I actually moved in with my in-laws, and we actually moved up to take care of them because they needed us at that time. But a year and a half later, my husband's gone. And so here I am. He was their only child. So I stayed on living here at the house in the basement at that time in our apartment downstairs. They were upstairs until things got changed around a little bit. But I became their caregiver for 24/7, And there were a lot of different issues there. And I thought literally that my mother-in-law would go first. She did not. My father-in-law, he was diagnosed at the last several months with stage 4 kidney cancer. And of course, my husband and I had promised both of them, we said, we're never going to put you in a nursing home or anything like that, and you promise these things. And I stuck to it as long as I could. It was the last week of my father-in-law's life, and I was really having some issues health-wise. Mostly physically because of the lifting and all the things I had to take care of, I had a doctor's appointment. My doctor said, you can't keep doing what you're doing. It's just too much for you. So I got home that day and the visiting nurse was here. And I walked in the door. I said, we got to talk. And I told her what my doctor said and that I just couldn't keep going doing this. And so we contacted, which was a place called, it's crossroads here in Batavia, New York. And the lady came that very afternoon. She talked to my father-in-law, asked him, literally, how long do you think you have to live? His answer was 1 week. The next day, they were here to take him to crossroads. Rick, it was 1 week exactly, and amazing. He passed away.
Wow.
Amazing. And then 9 months later, my mother, I honestly think my mother-in-law passed away with a broken heart. They were married 68 years, I think it was. And I was with her too, caring for her. I wasn't with her exactly when she passed away, but tending for her. And it's just, there were just a lot of issues dealing, you know, with everything. And wow.
Well, yes, when you're talking to people about loss, you certainly have been through it, so you know. It's not like you're reading a book by somebody who really has just been on the outer edge of feeling loss, someone who maybe learned it in a classroom or whatever. Marlene has lived it multiple times, and she's gotten through that, and it's made her stronger, and she is sharing that story. What are some of the ways you encourage someone who's lost a loved one? What are some of the maybe, I don't want to say simple steps, because there are no simple steps when you've lost someone, but some of those steps that are actually that we can take to help us through?
You know, there's actually three words that I've been thinking about, and that's time, tears, and triggers. Okay, let me explain that.
Okay.
A person needs to grieve, and you need to grieve for as long as it takes. And don't feel like you're an odd person, you know, if you're grieving and on and on and on and on. Everybody grieves differently. I know there are a few people who maybe within a few months will say, I'll use the word better, and they're getting along okay, but that's not the normal thing, okay? Usually it's a journey. We call it a journey. It's not something that you get over. It's something that God walks you through day by day by day. I honestly thought that the second year for myself, and I've heard others say this too, that the second year is harder. And I almost think that can be because that first year you're so numb, you know, and especially if you've lost a spouse, you're doing things that you haven't done before,
yes,
or learning things that you haven't had to do before, and all these things going on. But again, it's not something that you get over. Yes, it does get better, okay? But it's always going to be there. And you're going to find out that you're going to find your own new normal for your own life, okay? The tears. There's nothing wrong with crying, and I never feel awful if you're talking to someone and all of a sudden you just burst into tears. I've cried in a bank. I've cried in a post office. I've cried in a restaurant, you know, all these things. And so God gave us tears for a reason, and he cares about us, okay? So never worry about shedding tears. And kind of along with that too, sometimes people, because they don't understand exactly what we're going through, and literally, if a person hasn't gone through grieving, they have no idea what's going on inside of us. So if they happen to say to any of you out there that, oh, like in 2 months, you should be better by now, or you should be getting over this, you know, kind of let it go over your head.
Yes.
Because they're trying to be kind. They literally don't know what to say. And sometimes we just have to ignore what they say. But the third word, that triggers. In fact, I had a trigger as I was talking about my husband. They come out of the blue. And like I mentioned, I cried in a bank, post office, whatever, you know. Someone might say something, and then you're not expecting it, and all of a sudden, oh wow, you're shedding these tears. It can come from anywhere, but they're unexpected. So kind of be on the lookout for those. But the other thing that I think is so important is literally to be in the Word of God. When my husband passed away, every morning, I have what's called a sun room. I call it my S-O-N room. And that's where I met with God every day. And I would turn to the Psalms. And if you don't know where that's at, just take your Bible, open it right to the middle.
Oh, yes.
And there they are. There they are. And there is so much comfort in the Psalms. And you find out so much about God. Probably find out a lot about yourself, too. But see, God is a personal God. And again, he knows all about us. And you can be so honest with him. If you're angry with God, if you're bitter, just plain tell him. He knows it anyway. But don't stay angry at God. You know, realize that he is in control. But just trust him and to give you that peace that only he can give you.
I love the three T's, time, tears, and triggers. And this book and Marlene's life, and I mentioned before the groups that she's working with and all of the people over the last couple of decades that she's helped get through difficult circumstances, Marlene Burling, B-U-R-L-I-N-G. I'll just ask here for a second, a while back, it's been years ago actually, the word closure came into a common language. People were talking about that, and it's like, you'll find closure. Do you ever find closure?
Boy, you know, that's a good question. I suppose in some ways you could say yes, but again, it's grieving. You don't get over it.
Yes.
You know, it's always going to be there with you, your whole lifetime through. Even with my mom, you know, I wasn't there with her to say my goodbyes. And a lot of people, you know, are in that same category. They're not with them and they don't have that opportunity to have said their goodbyes. So I think that kind of makes it maybe a little more difficult. But again, just using that word time, you know, things do get better. But they're still going to stay with you. So I want to just, you know, encourage anyone to realize I have to keep coming back to God because that's where it's all at.
Yes.
And to be honest, I don't know how people can do it without him. I don't know where I'd be without him.
Well, that's
really
interesting.
Don't.
Has that shaped your life? Has that made you who you are? And maybe this is part of your mission is to take what you've learned, what he's guided you through to help other people.
I really believe so. I think with my writing and even my other books that are devotional books, they've been, they all started, you know, after my husband passed away and my writing is a type of encouragement. Everything that's in them is a
yes.
way to, and I wanted to speak to me first and then share what God has taught me and brought me through. So I can share to other people what an awesome God that we have. There's no one like him ever.
Well, you share with them through the books. Also, I talked about the groups. Are there upcoming events for your book? I would assume this opens many doors where you can have a personal relationship with the audience.
Right. Well, the one I'll say kind of big thing is my book is going to be displayed at the Los Angeles Festival of Books.
Oh, fantastic.
That's going to be going on. Yeah, that's next month in April. Your Link Print and Media will be taking that there. I have a speaking engagement coming up that's going to be at my daughter and her husband's church for their mother-daughter luncheon. And whenever I have a speaking engagement, I always take my books and make them available for them to purchase and everything. So part of this, too, I have become a speaker along with everything. I think you mentioned at the when we started our conversation that I had a workshop.
Yes.
That also came about after my husband passed away. It was probably about, maybe 3-4 months after he passed away. And my pastor's wife we got together, we went out for breakfast, and we're just talking. And she said, Marlene, she said, you know, going what I've already gone through, and there were a bunch of other things that I'd gone through. And she says, why don't you just gather things together and develop a workshop for widows? And so I began putting down everything that God had brought me through. There was even a list of things to, like, it was like a to-do sheet after my husband, you know, passed away. You know, go to the bank, Social Security, blah, 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 you know, all these things. And so I made a list even to include in that workshop. But so I've been able to present that at a couple of state conferences for ladies. I expanded it beyond widows to include other losses. You know, it might be a mothers or something like that, or even with widowers. Okay, so I've been able to do that. So it's been, so God's been, yes, He's been using me, and I'm sure that's why He's allowed me to go through these things. That's something I wanted to point out. When we do have these storms in our lives, which they're going to happen sooner or later, one thing I've always learned, and this came from a pastor from years and years ago, he always said that when we have, when God allows you to go through trials and difficulties, it's never to push us away from himself, but it's always to draw us closer to himself. And I found that so true in my own life. I have just felt so close to my Lord. I did before, but I think it's even more so now.
That's a great thought to leave our conversation with. The time has gone by so quickly, as it always does with Marlene Burling. That's B-U-R-L-I-N-G. Her other books, the children's book, a beautifully illustrated book, Grandma, Tell Me the Easter Story. It makes a great gift, not only for Easter, but for a young child throughout the year. And two 365-day devotionals, Morning Walks with God and a Daily Walk with God. All those available at Marlene's website, marleneburling.com. Link on our website if you're traveling and can't get the spelling down. You can go to the link and go directly to Marlene's page. And Marlene, to close, I'll ask you about the website and Facebook page. I mentioned that. You are all over the place with these messages and helping people. Talk about the website and then Facebook.
Okay. My website is, of course, marleneburling.com. I do a blog every Monday morning. And that's, again, it's a inspirational thing and for encouragement on various topics. And I also share that on my Facebook. And Facebook, I'm just under Marlene Burling. But then I also do have a Facebook page. On that one, I'm emphasizing more on just my books. Yes, for advertisement, but what I do is take an excerpt from one of my devotional books and include that. So there's that, and to that, another source of encouragement. The Facebook itself, I do the blog on Monday and sharing that to the Facebook. The other 4 days, I'm doing the Facebook page. So it's all there.
A lot going on, and it's such a pleasure to be able to catch up with you and go through all of the new publications you've got in your life since we talked the last time. I love the children's book, and hopefully sometime we can talk about that as well. So well done. This new book is Breaking Through the Clouds by Marlene Burling. We mentioned URLink Publishing, Print and Media several times. I want to thank them for arranging the conversation with Marlene today. Marketing platforms that are completely customizable to your needs, including events like marketing and the LA Book Fair that's coming up that Marlene will be at. Marlene's website, marleneburling.com. You can link onto that by going to our website, and you'll get to find her books at on her website, Amazon, all of the usual places. Marlene, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing the remarkable story and the way that you're helping so many people through the storm clouds of their lives. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It is always a pleasure. Marlene Burling, B-U-R-L-I-N-G. A link for her website, marleneburling.com, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. And we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.